Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by the wonderful people at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, bundles. They'll find you the right insurance so you're covered. They will work tirelessly to find you the best price whenever possible. They'll update your policies. And whenever you need them, they are there for you. That is Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great professionals, great product. Great service department, Sunbury Motors. Did you ever see the movie Hidden Figures?
I have not.
You should. I would strongly, strongly recommend the movie to you. Now, first of all, I've always been very interested in the space program. So that was already a starter for me. The genius of a Katherine Johnson and others, and I mean, I'm talking pure, complete genius. Mathematically, it's almost shocking that somebody is that smart. And she passed away at age 101. And she was given, I want to say, the Presidential Medal of Freedom by President Obama. What an incredible moment that had to be for her. But if you get a chance, watch the movie because it's really a well-done movie. Very well done. Kevin Costner's very good in it. Really was well done. Hidden Figures. Nate Bauer in a moment. First of all, our play-by-play call of the day. San Diego State becomes the last in the country to lose.
No timeouts remaining. Mitchell Long is going to go away from the floor. Mitchell, it's tapped around. The clock starts. Mitchell has it. Half court for the tie in overtime. Oh. It falls off. And the hopes of an undefeated season come to an end at the hands of UNLV.
Yes, and I was at Indiana yesterday, and don't think that wasn't mentioned to me. Because 76 Indiana is the last undefeated team in college basketball. All right, that was what? Kent Benson, Scott May, Bobby Wilkerson on that team. By the way, I saw Mellencamp yesterday. He wanted me to tell you hi.
Awesome.
He also mentioned to me about the restraining order on the suit. He said, Steve, he's not on the trip, is he? I said, no, man, it's all good. He goes, okay. Seems rather concerned about it. I hope we're not disturbing him on a golf course right now. That is Nate Bauer, Blue White Illustrated. Hello, Nate.
Ha, I wish. I did golf last week, though, Steve.
You did?
Dirty secret. I was accompanying my wife in San Antonio for a foot and ankle surgeon, whatever. It doesn't matter. They're doctors. They're all smarter than me. And so, well, counter that. I was the smart one because I spent 2 days golfing. So, you know, it all worked out.
Well, they're smarter than we are because they pick San Antonio for conventions. All right, so let's get to that part. So Patrick Chambers at his press conference today, he obviously was asked about Myron, and he said?
I'm going to let you guess. Come on.
There's no update on him right now. He's making progress, and you know, we'll have to see what the doctors say.
You know, I don't even know that he said he's making progress. I think that he said he's day-to-day. And
aren't we all?
Aren't we all? Exactly. No, I mean, look, like, I think that, you know, maybe there would be a little bit better tact in just announcing it before every, you know what I mean? Like, rather than even ask a question.
Right.
You know, maybe that would be a better way to play it, but the reality is
that's how I did it at Hoops Club today. And I said,
yeah,
"Look,
right.
I just got up. I said, don't even bother asking. I said, this is the way it is."
Yeah, and so you know, I think that what needs to be understood, and that what I think everybody at this point can understand or should understand is, look, like, the kid's not going to play until he is healthy enough to play. And so what's healthy enough? You and I and Pat and really anybody that's not the team doctor don't get a say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't, nobody has a say in that. And so it is truly up to, you know, Dr. Billy and Dr. Sebastianelli to make a decision as to when he should be cleared to play. And as of today, that has not been decided, you know.
Knowing your fan base, right? If you're doing the Michigan State green and white board, they'd be buying tickets to Atlanta. Knowing your fan base, they're now buying tickets to Dayton. Would that
correct.
Be yeah? That'd be fun.
No. That's giving too much credit. They are back on the firing train.
Good.
It just...
Let me guess. It's coaching and scheme.
Correct. So the last two games...
Oh, my God.
We're hearing from people that those two games were each lost due to coaching. And, you know, these are people who did not speak during the win streak, you know. And so, look, like... The only thing that I can take out of this, and I've been doing this 15 years, you've been doing it, you know, for decades and decades and decades.
I told Naismith to cut a hole in the bottom of the peach basket. I mean, that's a long time.
Yeah, it sounds right. No, but it sounds very, very stressful to be a fan. I can't even imagine the stress that they're under, you know. To have to go through these wild swings. I mean, it's just such a rarity, I guess. To be fair, you know, Penn State fans haven't been in this spot. It's been a decade since they've been in a position where, from game to game, you know, like, losses happen in college basketball, but they don't have to happen 10 games at a time and 12 games at a time. And so now they've had a 3-game losing streak. They've had an 8-game winning streak. They've had a 2-game losing streak. You know, they're gonna win again. There will be more wins in this season. It's just a matter of you know, taking a step back and understanding that, as Pat said today, this afternoon, and I thought it was you know, pretty good of him to admit it. Sometimes you just lose. Sometimes you dunk a ball and it goes over the backboard. Like, how rare is that? you know, just sometimes things happen where you're playing roughly the same as you were when you were winning, and you lose that game. And the same thing is true as losses, that you might have played the exact same in that loss as when you won. And you could have lost the game that you won, but you didn't. You won it. You know, it just... That's just kind of the way it happens, and there's such a small margin between that win and that loss that, you know, on any given night, you can end up on the right side or the wrong side.
No, there's no question about it. Lamar Stevens was disappointed that he felt like he lost the game yesterday. He had 29. You want your star to be your star, and he was yesterday, but he's going to have to get more help. I mean, there's just no getting around it. I mean, he's got enough people around him that can help. They just need the help.
Yeah, no question. And so you know the numbers even better than I do, but I'm going out and making a claim. I'm making an argument here that for that Penn State is people look at Curtis Jones and they look at Isaiah Brockington, and they kind of take those guys as maybe differentiating factors, but I actually think it's not them. Those two guys are bonuses mm-hmm. for what Penn State does. Penn State's success and failure this season is very, very closely tied, especially without Byron, to what Miles Dredd yeah. and Steph Lundy do yep. offensively.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
If you don't get a point from Steph Lundy, as they did it yesterday, mm-hmm. you're going to be in trouble. If you have Miles shoot 1 of 8 from 3, as he did yesterday, or 2 of 8, I guess it was, and 1 of 8 against 1 of 8 against Illinois, you're going to be in trouble. They need that offensive production, and they need consistency, particularly from both of them during this time while Myron's not playing. But even if you go back to Wisconsin and Rutgers and Minnesota earlier in the season, those two were the absentees, right? Lundy had the explosive first half at Minnesota, and they were competitive. And then what happened? He disappeared in the second half. Mm-hmm. Miles was never there in that game, and you know they lose those games. I mean, so it's really, really dependent on those two guys giving you, at least 5 to 10 points a game out of both of those. Because if you don't have it, you're really in trouble right now.
Well, I think the bottom, there's a couple of indicators to me. Number one, yesterday they only hit 4 threes in the game.
Yep.
As you know, I've said many times, whether it's on the show or the broadcast, that Penn State needs to be the team that's hitting 7 to 9, 7 to 10 threes
yep.
in a game. It's just part of the formula of winning. The other part, too, is that yesterday is one of the few times where the block and steal combo, Penn State didn't win. And Penn State needs to win the block steal combo because that's part of how they win games. So
yep.
they didn't win the 3-point line yesterday, and they didn't win the block steal combo lines yesterday.
Yep, and you know it's funny because what did they win? They won the rebounding battle.
Yep,
and it didn't matter.
That's the first time all season they've lost a game where they out rebounded a team.
Right. So I mean, it's just they need transition points, the points off of turnovers. 14 turnovers. Indiana has 21 points off of those. To Penn State's 8. You know, these are the stat lines that really they tell you a lot about how Penn State plays. To me, another one to always watch is just volume of shots. They got 53 shots yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, that's not enough attempts for the percentage
right.
of a shooting team as they are to win a game like that. You know, so and why is it fewer attempts than Indiana? Turnovers, right? And because they're not creating, like you said, through steals. I mean, so
right.
if those numbers aren't there, they're also in trouble.
Yeah, and that's there's no question about the other part too. Is and I've said this about football forever, and I've said this about basketball forever. Right? It really is great when you can play with the lead. Penn State rarely played with the lead last week. Doesn't
yep.
mean you can't give up the lead like Indiana did yesterday. But Indiana
yep.
had at least some collateral built up where
yep.
it allowed them to come back and eventually win. But playing with the lead and Penn State's ability to jump teams early was a hallmark during that 8-game winning streak, right? Last week they didn't play with the lead that often.
They went on a 30-5 run between the first
yep.
spanning the end of the first half and the second half and had a 6-point lead, right?
Yep.
Like, so you go on a 30-5 run, all that energy, all that expended, right? And all of it does really is erase the hole that you've dug for yourself. It's one of the hallmarks of the win streak is, you're right, like they were playing with a lead. They would jump out to 10-point leads and just keep it there for the rest
yep.
of the way.
That's right.
I feel very strongly, excuse me, that Wednesday night, you know, particularly against this team, this Rutgers team,
yep.
you know, it's important for them, for this team to kind of remember who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now at this moment, because Rutgers' skill is not great. They're not a very skilled team, but they're tough and they will punch you. And so now you add those two factors to begin with the fact that they're desperate.
Mm-hmm.
Rutgers needs wins, period.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
That season is sliding and slipping away from them. They need wins, period. Penn State has to be ready for those things right out of the gate. They have to be ready for that desperation. They have to be ready for that physicality. And they have to find a way to with or without Byron, get that mojo back, get that energy and that offensive production back to where it needs to be.
Because Harper's playing really well. I mean, he's playing terrific basketball right now. So Ron, when you see Ron Harper Jr. out there, he's playing really well. Geo Baker is playing well. I mean, not great, but he's playing well. But here's the area for Rutgers, all right? They just keep this in mind because I've already run the numbers on this. They average 5 more fouls per game on the road than they do at home.
Yep. Right. So, right. Which, you know, is funny in the sense that it tells you a lot about what you need to know about this league, that you're not going to get called for fouls at home. just anybody, including Penn State. I mean, Penn State's a very foul-prone team. But, you know, some of the calls that Penn State got in trouble with yesterday in terms of Lamar having two and Jamari having two early, you know, those calls aren't going to go against you at home, or they're less likely to go against you at home. So especially for a team like Rutgers, who's as physical as they are.
Right. And that's my point about Rutgers. They play physical ball, but there's the 5 additional fouls per game on the road. Now, look, they've also played from behind on the road, too. So they may have been in position to foul at the end of the games. I just want to be fair about that.
Right. But, you know, and this kind of harkens back to yesterday, you know, Penn State needs to shoot better free throws, too.
Yes, they do.
You know, some missed front ends yesterday and in some critical spots that, you know, might have helped them get over the hump. But, you know, this Penn State team is still capable, right? They're still a good team. They just have to find a way to kind of recalibrate and get back to the things that led them to all that success, you know, really over the past 5 weeks.
So it's scheme and coaching.
Always.
Scheme. Those two big words that are used at the tailgate. Wow. Bobby knows a lot about basketball. Scheme and coaching. No clue what the scheme is, but... I didn't see you. Didn't see you practice, so I don't think you know.
this is one of my favorite lessons through all of this. Is does the shooter have an open shot?
Yes. We think at that point the scheme's pretty good.
Because here's the deal: is the scheme is good if the shooter has an open shot.
Yeah.
If players are taking shots where there isn't anybody right in front of them, that is good basketball.
Right.
Because the reality, especially at this level, is that most players at this level are going to make that shot.
Here's the bottom line. If you really want to know if it's really working. All right. Usually, you want to have a lot of dribbling if there's about 6 on the clock because it's time. Look, it's go time. It's ISO time. Now, you may kick it out for a pass, whatever, but that's the time. If a team is getting as many passes as dribbles, that means there's ball movement. That means it's working. It doesn't mean you're going to make the shot, but it means it's working.
You want open shots, and then let the chips fall where they may. Some days you might not have it. Some days you will. You know, Purdue, they couldn't duplicate that if they tried.
Sure.
You know,
right.
It's just one of those days. You know, Wisconsin earlier in the season, probably the same thing. Couldn't duplicate it if you tried.
Yep.
Right? I mean, going 0-12 from the floor in a row is hard to do.
I could do that.
Well, right.
I could do that in a heartbeat.
For Big Ten basketball players other than Northwestern. Right now,
yes.
That's hard to do, you know.
Nate, thanks so much. Appreciate it very, very much.
Anytime.
All right.
Always.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Nate Power, Blue White Illustrated. It's scheme and coaching. Did you know that, Matt?
Of course I did.
That's the reason that they didn't win. Scheme and coaching. I found that to be educational.
I did too.
As somebody who's around it every day. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Great to have you with us on the show today. We're going to talk about Dusty Baker with the Astros. The stabilizing part of the Astros. Right now, he's the best thing they have going for them. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And we are brought to you today by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business. Do they have suit insurance there?
We'd have to ask. I'm sure they do.
I believe the local authorities have restraining orders. I guess that's kind of like their version of insurance for the suit. No? But they'll make sure that, you know, it could be a bundle, by the way. They'll save you as much money as they can, making sure you're still covered. And they'll update. They'll take care of that policy. They are the pros. Incredible. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Okay, so we've talked college basketball. We've determined that the issues are scheme and coaching. Yeah, it makes sense to me. Then you ask what the scheme is, and like you get this confused look. It's like, yeah, don't ask me questions. Just let me analyze it. Scheme and coaching. That's great. I'm sorry, but you know what's really interesting about, you know, let's be serious about scheme for a moment. There are a lot of really intriguing things that I'll see over a month at a practice. Getting ready for a game, you'll see a play put in here or there. You say to yourself, well, that's an intriguing play. And then you realize after seeing it a couple times that they're not comfortable with how it's being run because somebody is not running it right. And you have to scrap it, even though on paper And when you look at it, you're like, hey, that, you know, because again, you're doing it sometimes in a walkthrough. Like, well, that could be a really good play. But then you watch them do go through practical application of it, and you realize there's somebody that can't run it right. They can't seem to get it. Well, if they can't, they have to scrap the play. That's the same thing in basketball. I mean, there's certain things you want to do defensively. There's certain things you want to do offensively. And if somebody can't get it, you can't use it. And I think yesterday, for example, let's give you yesterday. Seth Lundy's a really good player. In fact, he's going to be a terrific player here. You know, Nate referenced the first half he had at Minnesota. He had the 18 against Purdue where he was tremendous. That was his career high. Yesterday, he had a couple of open looks on the wing. And even closely guarded, he should be fine because Seth has a high release. He's just got to shoot it. Let it fly. Don't worry about it. Okay? Just don't worry. Just let it go. You have a really good shot. Take it. Take it. Indiana yesterday was a game seven for them. Go back to Joe Lenardi's quote in the show on Friday. He says, the good news is Indiana 68. The bad news is Indiana 68. Well, you got to somehow move yourself away from 68. And that was like a seventh game for them yesterday.
Well, that was the theme, too, because Ohio State, same situation. And they picked up the big win against Maryland at home.
Well, Ohio State's deeper into the tournament. What's interesting is that when you look at the net, for example, I don't even know what Penn State's net is today. I didn't even bother to look. But Purdue is 14-14. And they're in the mid-30s. Indiana with the win yesterday, I want to say Indiana's, what, 17-10, 8, something like that, whatever. They're right around there. They're well above 500. But their net is in the low 50s, like 52. And part of the problem is that they scheduled poorly. They scheduled all those home games at Assembly Hall. And then, to top it all off, when they played their tournament, it was 50 miles away in Indianapolis. Well, that doesn't help you. That doesn't help you. You got to be able to show to get deeper into the tournament. You have to show the ability to win on the road. And in the non-conference, I mean, it doesn't hurt to schedule one away and take a shot at it. They didn't do it. So we'll see how it plays out. Got 2 weeks to go here. Less than 2 weeks, in fact. 2 weeks from today, we'll be talking about the Big Ten tournament. A week, next week, is the Patriot League, right?
That's correct. Bucknell women are looking to clinch the number one seed and host. Bucknell men were on the bubble, took a tough one to Lehigh yesterday. I think they need to win and get some help if they're going to have a shot to at least get a six spot, but if not, then they're going to be in that lower to 7-10 bracket.
Okay. There you go from there. So we're getting to that point. We're getting to that point. And Lamar Stevens went past yesterday. Jesse Arnell for second place in the all-time scoring list at Penn State. That's really kind of a remarkable deal. It really is. And Jesse Arnell, by the way, to his credit, did all this without a three-point shot. You know, didn't play as many games. The whole deal. But still, this has been a season of the senior, in my opinion. Last year, we had a lot about, you know, we've had a lot about one-and-dones of late. Trey Young, one-and-done at Oklahoma, was a great player. Zion Williamson last year, a one-and-done, great player. So we've seen a lot of one-and-dones. But in this particular year, for whatever reason, it has been guys like Azubuike with Kansas,
senior. Anthony Cowan, Maryland, senior. Xavier Simpson, Michigan, senior. Cassius Winston, Michigan State, senior. Lamar Stevens, Penn State, senior. Now, even the juniors. I mean, Luka Garza is a junior. And, you know, older players make a difference. And I also think that older players, I think, make a difference with the fan base. I know the fan base gets excited about the new guy in town. Can't wait to see the new players play, and I understand that. We're all anxious to see what they could possibly mean. But let's take a sport, and we've talked about wrestling many times. Let's take a sport like wrestling. Those guys are there for 4 years. Now, it may fly by, but like Mark Hall. You don't have the movement. You know, there's no professional league to go to. Yeah, you can sit out and get ready for the Olympics, which is great. But there's no pro league to go to, so nobody leaves early. You may have somebody transfer out, transfer in, but for the most part, you stay stable. You know, Nick Lee's still there. Mark Hall's still there. Shakur Rashid's still there. Vincenzo Joseph still there. So in wrestling, you get to see and know the athletes just like the old days, where you counted on John Cappelletti being there for 4 years. You counted on Kurt Warner being there for 4 years. You counted on Shane Conlon being there. Times have changed. Now you've got people leaving earlier, so KJ Hamler's in the draft combine this weekend. Yitor Grosmatos is in the combine this weekend. It's their choice. You have transfers, and this is all going to get worse as time goes, by the way. Not worse, but you're going to have, I mean, if these new transfer rules go in, let's face it, Greg Schiano at Rutgers was very blunt in his assessment of how to get Rutgers back. And Greg Schiano told the administration at Rutgers, he said, look, we're going to have to get as many transfers as possible. He told them that. And junior college players in order to try and win quickly. That's what he told the administration at Rutgers. Well, guess what? You know, that is going to be the way of the world. So when you look at college basketball today and you see Cassius Winston, Cassius Winston could have gone to Harvard, by the way. Do you realize that? I mean, he's an Ivy League kind of, I mean, like, great mind. And he thought about playing Ivy League basketball, and then he went to Michigan State instead. But when you guys have guys like Cowan, Simpson, Azubuike, Stevens, Winston, and there's more seniors than that, obviously playing across the country. Juniors, Caleb Wesson came back for his junior year. Luka Garza is a junior. Yeah, you got guys like that stay. You can tell it, you know, Mike Watkins. I mean, I can't leave Mike out. Mike Watkins is in his fifth year. And the fan base gets to relate to them. Means a lot to them. And so it does give you that old-time feel. Like I said, in most sports like women's volleyball, wrestling, women's ice hockey, soccer. I mean, every once in a while, somebody leaves early. I remember in men's volleyball, one of the first guys around here to leave early was Matty Anderson. He left after his junior year to go pro in Japan.
But for the most part, outside of the two highest profile sports, you have stability. And I think it means a lot to the fan base that you can go out and you knew in this particular year there was no thought that Mark Hall was not going to be here this year. You didn't think about it. Vincenzo Joseph, you knew Vincenzo Joseph was coming back. You didn't even think about it. But when it comes to football and basketball, you're looking at that doggone transfer portal all the time. And, of course, you know I've referred to the transfer portal in basketball in April is the waiver wire. And you have to be aware of it in your recruiting now. So we celebrate the older player, the senior, in this year of college basketball because it seems like a few more stuck around to go all the way through. And it's made a difference in all those teams. Azubuike in Kansas, ranked number one. Cowan and Maryland, leading the Big Ten. Cowan's had a great year. Cassius Winston. You know, Michigan State's always a threat. Xavier Simpson, they hit a little lull in the middle. Now they got Isaiah Livers back. Boom, they're playing. Lamar Stevens, Mike Watkins. Look at the season Penn State's had. Even the juniors, Luca Garza, look what he's meant to Iowa. Wow. So, you know, Caleb Wesson in Ohio State has been a big reason why Ohio State's been able to stay stable the way they have after losing DJ Carton to unfortunate circumstances. So the older player has made a difference in this particular year. In a sport that's been dominated of late, especially publicity-wise, by one-and-dones. Now look at last year's team. Last year's teams in the NCAA, Virginia was an older team. Kyle Guy, Hunter, all those guys. Texas Tech was a team made up of transfers. All right, we'll take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Seven o'clock on Wednesday night, 6:30 the airtime. Penn State and Rutgers at the Jordan Center. Next to last home game of the year for the Nittany Lions. And Bucknell in women's basketball on the verge of being the number one seed. That means more work for Matty Ice.
That's true, but I'm okay with that.
They love you over there.
Yeah, it's been a good first year.
You are as much a part of the fabric of Bucknell with everybody except for Doug Birdsong.
Exactly right. I can never get to the level of Doug B.
Doug B. is awesome. Awesome job, awesome work. Gets it done. In the fall, overcomes tremendous odds. No, wait, that's...
You could say that during the fall-winter crossover, at the very least.
No, when he makes the fall-winter crossover, he gets the freedom of doing the game by himself instead of being held back. Excuse me. Okay, Kevin, I'm the play-by-play guy. I have to talk at some point. I've got things to say. I've got thoughts. Although the battle royale between Chick-fil-A and Wendy's is always interesting with those two.
Oh, it's always fun.
What determines it in the end as to where they actually do go, since you have at times been a hostage?
Location, basically, and time.
Well, when they go to Chick-fil-A, does Doug order?
Oh, yeah, he will.
Reluctantly?
Sometimes, yes.
I mean,
No, especially if it's especially if it's for breakfast and it's on the way down to for like a noon or 1 o'clock game.
Breakfast?
Yes, we have done breakfast and dinner stops on the way back sometimes too. But sometimes Chick-fil-A's been the breakfast or mid-morning stop, whatever you want to call it. But they actually have chicken breakfast sandwiches. I myself have never tried them, but they are there on the menu when we've stepped into said Chick-fil-A's in the morning.
I mean, I realize when you go to Wendy's, the suit has no problem there. It's one of his favorite four-letter words, food, so it doesn't really, I mean, there's no discriminating palate there.
He breaks out the iPad to check it out when we're not watching College Game Day on the way down.
You guys watch College Game Day in the car?
Oh yeah, we have our 4G that we use for the broadcast, and we travel with the sports information department, so they have their internet because they're doing pregame stuff on the car ride down. So Kevin uses it on his iPad, and we stream College Game Day.
You guys know Buck. You know Bucknell's not featured on College Game Day, right? That's what I should.
It's our make sure. Or else our other look around college football that we're going to miss because we're doing our duty with Bucknell.
I see. All right. Now, who drives?
Let's see. I've been on a couple where Todd Newcomb, Bison Club Director, has driven.
Yeah.
John Terry, Sports Information Director, has driven.
Okay.
So those are the only experiences I've had.
So the suit doesn't drive.
That is correct. In fact, we always have the two trips that I've gone on, we have picked up the suit in Danville.
Naturally.
While the rest of us park at Bucknell.
Naturally. there are just some people that are bigger than the program. I always like people who just are larger than life. It's our guy. Getting it done. I need to be picked up here. All right. So a week from today, Bucknell's in the Patriot playoffs. 2 weeks from today, we're talking about the Big Ten tournament. March starts on Sunday. Penn State, by the way, is now, and this is not a complaint, I'm just a statement of fact. You get into this game, practice thing, because they're the only team in the Big Ten playing 9 games in the month of February.